Okay, so as long as we're waiting, you owe us an answer to why God let the conservative reform movement come about.
Yeah. So I think the conservative reform movement serves several purposes. Very similar to what the Rambam said about Christianity and Islam. The Christianity and Islam, why did God let Christianity and Islam come into being? You're aware with the Rambam, right?
Because it's closer than
Closer than paganism. So therefore, he said this is a step in the right direction. There are inaccuracies, of course, like Christians have the Trinity, which is a problem with their religion, but they do have the right Bible, whereas the Muslims have the problem of having the Quran, even though they only have one God. But generally speaking, this is paving the way for the ultimate Geula, when everybody is going to come together. It's going to be much easier for them to convert from Christianity and Islam to Judaism, or not Judaism, to the Noah status, than it is going to be from pagan status.
So
saying about conservative reform, if not for conservative reform in the United States and other countries outside the land of Israel, there would be massive, massive assimilation. In the land of Israel, it's interesting that conservative reform Judaism never took hold. It's very small, right? It's not necessary there, because even if you're a chiloni, if you are not religious, you're still affiliated with the Jewish people, and you're not going to assimilate. There's nobody to assimilate into. Whereas the chutzlars, if you don't have the conservative reform, then there would be rampant, massive assimilation. And therefore, they're good at holding people in Jewish patterns until such time as actually somebody is going to be able to get them back.
He said
Christianity and Islam are stepping stones on the way to redemption.
No, he said Yoshko was needed for the fact that he had to take bring something out in the world that no one else was going to do go down to that level.
He doesn't say that.
Is there?
He says it's paved. I don't know. He says something similar to that.
The purpose was to
diminish paganism in the world.
So it means every Jew is like needed for some type of purpose, right? Everyone.
Anyway, the purpose. Yeah.
Right. So I'm saying.
Are we every guy too?
Right.
Yeah.
Then it would be the case that any political idea that came about would also further this cause, because they'd come about in a certain succession. Like, so then even, what is it, the...
Zionism?
Not Zionism, I'm thinking more along the lines of, what was that called?
Communism?
Not communism, the one that...
Anarchy?
Fascism
was not bad, except for Nazism, which took it too far. Mussolini, I always have a soft spot in my heart for Mussolini. he wasn't anti-Semitic, Mussolini. Hitler compelled him to become. Look, he wasn't a tzaddik. He wasn't anti-Semitic per se.
Franco. I heard he liked Jews.
Well, there weren't any Jews in Spain for him to like or dislike, so it didn't really matter. But
he could have.
Fascism in of itself has certain milos to it. It really means a very strong state, which nevertheless allows private industry and encourages it. Unlike communism, which is a strong state with no private industry. So if, in theory, if the strong state is a benevolent one, so it very much resembles our idea of a monarchy, the way it should have been.
Well, China is now a communist, but now it's Catholic.
Well, yeah, they're no longer communist, essentially. They are they have become capitalist, but they won't admit it.
Right,
so that's different. There are no real, except for Cuba, I don't think there are any real communist countries in the world today.
North Korea. Yeah, North Korea is a big industry.
Mm-hmm. So, look at Otsameach. How many people, a lot of people here, the Bali Tshuva, not just here, but any Bali Tshuva Yeshiva, do have some conservative reform background. There are very few, I think, who come out of zero background.
That's me.
the exception that proves the rule. There are very few which come out of zero backgrounds and come and do tshuva, right? That's become shaykhus. Sometimes it's birthright, sometimes it's this hook, that hook, but generally speaking, conservative reform provide a little bit of a hook to get people interested, and then they can be reeled in.
Yeah, let's talk
you
about
that. Conservative
what?
Let's talk about this. Right?
What is that?
Do you think conservative and reform is like the Siddiqui or the Karai movement?
No, because the Siddiqui and Karai movement had a, well, I shouldn't say, not, the Karaim today are basically like Reform Jews. But the Reform Karaim were very staunch about what they believed in. And Siddukim also, they were very much into the Avodah and the Beit HaMikdash. You know, the Beit HaMikdash was controlled by the Stokim. The Kohanim were very heavily into the Stokey camp.
Mm.
So, but the Reform Conservative, they don't, they have no appreciation of ritual, right? Or much less appreciation of ritual.
So
it's just plain watered down. It's not alternative. It's watered down. You understand what I'm saying?
So it's like keep whatever you want to keep. You
basically.
Keep Shabbos, keep Shabbos.
Right, right.
Wait, what is the premise? What's the the premise of Reform Judaism? Or I mean, what intellectual thing? I would call it a... what do you call it? What do you call it when you know you're doing something wrong, but you make up a reason for it to be right?
Cognitive dissonance?
Oh, and people are...
Rationalization.
Do they have to learn
dissonance? Reform believes that...
The
Reform believes enlightenment disproves all religions. And since enlightenment disproves all religions, all we're left with is the sense of the divine. Perhaps there is even a true God, but not a God which has personal connection to me. And there probably isn't an afterlife, except in some vague, mystical way, perhaps. But not a specific reward, punishment afterlife. So therefore, it's religion shorn of all the beliefs, except for the ambiguous belief in God, which is ambiguous, as I said, and a few beliefs in and some sort of belief in the continuity of the Jewish people and their certain degree of specialness which they have, etc., etc. Now, therefore, the early Reform movement radically rejected almost all of Judaism, except basically for prayer. Recently, because Reform has become more spiritual, and now you will find Reform Jews, usually the rabbis, who put on tefillin, said that the book meant ender. What? I don't know. Probably that when they buy them.
Where do you get this secret from? What's another thing
they're going to buy? Secret to anybody. They'll save the story to anybody. There are Reform Conservative Sofrim though nowadays also. Sofrot.
Now, why do they, I was speaking to a former one, and you felt the hate for Orthodox Jews. Where is that coming from? Why do you hate them?
You know, when I teach in MTA, so a lot of the kids come with an intense hatred for Kolodniks. Where do they get this hatred from? Get this hatred, you know, when did they get, this is from their 10th and 11th graders, right? 12th graders, maybe. Why don't they get a job? Why do I have to pay for them to sit and learn? Where does you understand that? How does 10th grader get that hashkafa?
Parents.
Okay, so the reform and conservative got it from their parents or their grandparents who turned their backs on Orthodoxy and were very upset at Orthodoxy as well. So then it just was passed down generation to generation.
I have a new, by the way, the whole coil thing is very poor, because what happens is not what people think happens. What do I mean? People think that in Lakewood that people are on coil until 35. It's not true. Most of the people are there until 25. You barely find it 25. This is what my brother is in Lakewood.
First of all, you're talking to the wrong guy. Because I was a coil for 17 years.
Whoa.
So therefore, I am not going to speak out against coils. On the other hand, they're really talking about Eretz Yisrael. In America, I don't think the phenomenon is so acute. As you say, most people are out by 25 and working their kind of business,
right.
Whatever. But in Eretz Yisrael, it's a lifelong occupation.
No, I didn't mean anything against...
I know you didn't mean anything. That's just kidding. Yes.
So I had someone who said to me when I first was becoming religious that this person is conservative, and they said to me, look, you know, you want me to check out Orthodox Judaism, I want you first to check out Reform and Conservative. And they could see, like, you can explore your options and see what's going on. So I said to them, I said, no, people tell me that it's not, you know, they tell me the basic premises of each you know, type of Judaism, and I find that's not the truth, you know. They said, well, you know, unless you go on check out those things, I won't check out. Does that make sense? Like, I won't, if you don't go out and check out Reform and Conservative and see, talk to the rabbis and see, you know, how, like, you know, what the basic premises are, then I won't go out and do Orthodox Judaism, you know, check out
Orthodox. You should talk to them.
I should talk to them.
Yeah, I haven't told the story, I think, to anybody who's in this room. It's one of my favorite stories. So therefore, I can repeat it now. My meeting with a Reform educator in a taxi cab. So I once shared a cab with my coming back from conference that my wife attended, where there are a whole bunch of Reformed conservative rabbis and educators, besides Orthodox one. And we shared a cab with this guy who was a reform educator. And this Reform educator was he wasn't a rabbi, but he was a teacher in religious school. His specialty was Judaism and ecology. So we talked about, I was curious, I asked him, how do you teach your kids about God? And what do you say about God? So he said, I have a real problem teaching my kids about God. I said, why? He said, because all the tragedies which exist in the world, all the terrible things which happen, and all the sickness, and the disasters, and all that, I have a problem reconciling that with a just and righteous God. So I said, okay, so what do you tell them? So he said, I tell them that God is learning. So I said, haha, how long did it take you to figure out that the death of a young girl is a terrible, unjust tragedy? A girl, 7 years old, 8 years old, her mother's son dies of cancer. It's a tremendously unjust tragedy, right? So you probably realize that by the age, probably you were the age of 7 or 8. Maybe you were somewhat stupid until you were 12 or 13. If you were borderline, I'm exaggerating right now, you're borderline, you know, retarded, so you're 15 or 16. So God has been at this for almost 6,000 years at least, and he still hasn't learned. He's not a very good student, if that's the case. Seems pretty dumb. Why should I worship him? So at that point, the conversation ceased. Anyway, so the point is that they don't have answers. You shouldn't be afraid of talking to them. And if somebody is going to have, not that you have to look to seek them out,
right,
but if somebody has a sign against you, says, ah, you're afraid to talk to the Reform and Conservative, they have the MS, don't worry about it. Just go talk to them.
But at this point, it's like,
so something to make somebody else happy. I know who this person was.
Also, this person, if this person says, well, their parents were, you know, their parents were originally religious and Orthodox, and they got, you know, they were supposed to be set up in their, you know, respective marriage partners, but they didn't go with those marriage partners, and they got married to each other. So you can see, like, you know, they're headed down the wrong path. Like, is there any way you could speak to that person and say, like, you know, that doesn't make any sense at all, that just because your parents get set up to different people than they actually were set up with, you know, mean, like, they
I didn't follow that one.
How about, would there be any way to say to someone, well, just because your parents, you know, didn't follow their parents and who their parents wanted them to go with originally, doesn't mean that Orthodox Judaism doesn't make any sense.
That's
Right. But is there any way you could show a person that? Like,
no, because the person makes such a stupid claim, it's not, he doesn't want to hear.
Right.
I had a kid in my 10th grade who was a brilliant kid, a nutty kid, really nutty, but brilliant. So he
it's
spent...
Fine line, isn't it?
What?
Fine line.
No line here. No line. So he spends hours and hours on the internet arguing with Jews for Jay. And he holds it to Chiyuv Kadosh, the Gomor, for him to argue with these Jews for Jay.
Are any of them real Jews?
What?
Are any of them real
Jews?
Yes. Did he get them?
No, of course not.
It's the point. I don't like stop. You want to believe right. Down the line. Because
I don't think anybody's ever convinced anybody of anything over the internet also. The internet is a medium which lends itself particularly well to argumentation and arrogance. So therefore, I don't buy it. If I told him, he must cease and desist, but he keeps doing it over and over again. So, you know, you have to be careful who you're talking to. Most people are not willing to be macabre.
Really?
They're not open. Unless they approach you, they don't really want to hear what you have to say.
No. Right. So I shouldn't at least feel or think to myself that the fact that I was like a flaming ball tshuva when I met them and I said to them like certain things, I said, you know, I don't think this is right, I don't think this is right.
You come to Butterfield in hell.
What?
You come to Butterfield in
hell. No. They also told me that they don't keep kosher in the home, whatever that means. And they also, there's certain ideas that they go out and have fish and vegetables or something like that, and that was keeping kosher also outside the home. And I said it's not keeping kosher outside the home. But then I only learned later on that there was a certain idea of communities back some time ago that was actually an idea of keeping that was keeping kosher. Someone had told me this in L.A. When he was younger, now he's a religious guy, but back when he was younger, he said there was a certain idea.
You see, what you do when you do that, which is a natural tendency, which I would ask you to say, you know, basically your life is worthless and your existence is meaningless because you eat outside the house and trade restaurants, it's not a good idea.
But
because
this,
you
right.
encourage whatever they do well.
Uh-huh.
Whatever they do, even if it is kosher inside the home, and now that only goes and eats straight.
Right.
It's already a sensitivity.
But this is within the first month of, you know, being religious and like being.
No, no, I think yeah, I'm sure
think,
really so.
I think when we go up to the full month of, I think they know they're full of baloney. Why? When I met this reformed rabbi, he wouldn't even call himself a rabbi. He said, "My name is Mr. So and So." Now, if he knew he was real, he would have said he's a rabbi.
What do you mean? So when he introduced himself?
Yeah.
I never introduced myself as a rabbi.
No.
It's Geiger. When I make a phone call, I say, this is Yosef Ben Hoffer. And I say, this is the rabbi Ben Hoffer calling.
Wow.
People do that.
I knew a Tom
Lab
band
who
do that. I knew a big Tom. I knew someone with a Tom Hoffer. I knew a Tom Hoffer who would say, this is Rabbi so-and-so.
Teachers do that a lot. You're a teacher at school, and you have to call parents, so that gives you the position of authority from which to call the parent. Kind of like if you're a doctor, right? The doctors don't like getting called by their first name.
They really don't. They really
positions of authority over the patient.
What?
Right? So
if
you...
Right? If someone has that title as part of their job, their role in community.
Right.
If someone just has that title as part
Well, I was told.
But the reason why I do it is because the Rosh Hashiv, when I was young, probably to this very day, I was very big, very chutzpahdik. I was always very chutzpahdik, and I had very little respect for my teachers and my rabbeim, except for a few along the way. But one Rosh Hashiv who got a lot of my respect along the way was the one who would never call himself Rabbi so and so. He would call himself Mayor X.
So I was at a rabbi's table.
I see this is open forum tonight.
Yeah, okay. It was close to another rabbi.
Yeah.
And this rabbi was a big guttle. He said that this forming stir movement are Malik.
People make unfortunate statements, which are not made today. One of the most distinguished literature mashgichim in Bnei Brak made a, according to the report in one of the Hebrew newspapers made a very violent, foul remark about the terrorist attacks in Merkaz Arab. He says that they got this because they were transgressed the three oaths, you know, like the Talmud Rebbe says, the three oaths of not to go back to Eretz Yisrael, and not to go back with a wall, and that's where they had a terrorist attack in the Yeshiva.
I was waiting for that. I was thinking, someone's got to come out and say
this. And this wasn't the Tzurei Kaisa. Would have made it, even Tzurei Kaisa's afraid to come out and say this. But this Mashgiach in Bnei Brak, he came out and said it. So it's insane. It's absurd. They murdered in Hebron in 1929 24 Tamidim. Was that because Hebron and Yeshiva had the wrong Ashkafas? Did they have to change their Ashkafas? In Europe, they killed thousands and thousands of Tamidei Chachamim. In Pels, in Panovich, in Rodin and Branovich. So does that mean they all had the wrong hashkafa? That's why they were killed? This is absurd, but people make irresponsible, unthought-out statements, and even people who are assumed to be great people.
What do you?
It's very tragic.
And what do you? And but if you're say like assumed to be great, one's like this isn't assumed. Like this person was like almost a guaranteed great.
What?
One's this person thought was rabbi. I'm talking like almost.
I guess this one also. If I told you his name, I don't know if you would know, but yeah, he's assumed to be one of the great tzaddikim of the generation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How could you make such a tremendous mistake? I don't understand that. We people. Are,
you know what bothers me more? What bothers me more is like this. This guy is called the mashgiach. The paramount value of being a mashgiach is to be a mashgiach, to be a baal mussar. Baal mussar means to be a baal midos. How, when people are sitting shiva for their kids, can you come out with a public statement like that? Where is the midos? Where is the mussar?
I have a even big, more basic question than that. How guided is it as him to admit to knowing the will of God? How could he say that? How could he say that? What position is he? What does he know that we don't, where he can say that?
So this is a different type of thing than saying...
It's the same thing. Say Reform Conservative, I'm bowling. What does that mean? Does Mitch the kill every Reform Conservative?
No, I think he meant the way he means it is that the doubt that they cause...
Okay, so that's fine. So what he should have said is that they arouse fakers, said something is getting of Amolek, it's a bechina of Amolek, not that they're Amolek.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have another question.
I said there was big scandals last Thursday, which consigned to the back burner because of this terrible incident. Rabbi Herschel Schechter, one of the Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshiva University, was giving a shiur in Yerushalayim to a bunch of students, an informal shiur, and somebody asked him what would be the proper response for a soldier who was told to participate in dividing Yerushalayim and giving part of it to the Arabs. So he said, and this was on YouTube, he said that, I would tell him he can't do it. Army also said by halacha, in Gush Katif they were wrong, they shouldn't have done it, because halacha is not to give back any part of Eretz Yisrael. And he said, went on to say, and if a soldier asked me what to do, I would say, go shoot the Rosh HaMemshalah. Go shoot the Prime Minister. Within about 24 hours, they managed to get it off YouTube.
What's YouTube?
YouTube is a site on the web where you watch, where anybody can post any video or any recording that they want. Somehow they managed to get it off. Whoever student posted it was told he had it better take it down or else. But in any event, and the Schechter apologized, and the Yeshiva University repudiated the statement. And anyway, now with all the goings on of the past week, terrorist attack, the governor of the state of New York, all those things, so these things are all going to fade into the background somewhere. But the point is, if you're a public figure, you have to be very careful what you say. He meant it as a joke, right? And it was probably a very small gathering of students, but you never know who's listening.
Right.
You have to be very careful what you say.
Wow.
Unlike me.
I
know. I'm a fool. Yeah.
You know, when Tuvia Goldstein, the whole incident, so Shach said that we came to speak when they were in Shiva to the Goldstein.
You mean Barth?
Barth Goldstein. So Shach said that he had brought him hard to speak about him, and he can't do this in the whole Shiva, that there's this.
Barth Goldstein was the guy who went to Purim and murdered Arabs about 10 years ago with David Mara Marat
Machpelah. He didn't murder them.
What's the difference?
Killing is a justifiable murder, isn't it?
It wasn't justifiable.
Was it
justifiable? No, it was a murder. Because I had many Jewish lives have been lost because of Barth Goldstein. Far more than whatever cheshbon he might have had in his crazed mind that he was saving have died because of that.
Whoa. It wasn't his fault. He just saw so many people die. And
okay, so he snapped. In Shemayim, maybe they'll be down immediately because of temporary or permanent insanity in this case. But in any event, Maitha was a very, very wicked thing to do.
And what, he got killed?
Yeah, the Arabs killed him.
He was going to die.
Yeah, it was like a terrorist act. The same thing that this guy, Lahavdil, did in Merzah Zorav, he did in the Maratha Machpelah. When a terrorist does such a thing in Merkaz Arad, he can think back and borrow gold and say, tit for tat. David, this is what he did, this is what I do. We suffer a lot from that.
Someone posed me like this, idea like this, this idea of like the Arabs might have, that the Zionists and the Jews.
The Arabs don't have that idea. It's a false premise. The Torah Kaiser would like you to believe that.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Right.
You know the Torah Kaiser?
Yeah, sure.
So they would like you to believe that the Arabs love Jews, they just hate Zionists.
Yeah, that's what someone told me. That's
yes.
Shabbos.
That's the one.
Really?
Yeah. They don't distinguish between the two. If they shot an ultra-Orthodox Jew in Meir Shalem, they would also exult and say, we got rid of the Zionist occupiers. Their cartoons are despicably anti-Semitic. You know, their editorial cartoons?
Right.
Yeah, they're not.
Right, but there was something very interesting. I think with Mike Williams and Ahmadinejad, it seemed very interesting that he did say, like Ahmadinejad did say in this interview, I watched it, he's like, I only hate the Zionists, I do not hate the Jews. Like,
it's a great statement.
What do you mean?
By the way, you can never believe
it. Like, the reason why the Persian government didn't let whole families go to the United States all at once was to prevent Zionism, not because of any hatred of Jews. We were able to leave the United States anyway. It was just the whole entire crazy idea of there that we can Zionists that kept us in.
First of all, whatever they
say... So you're
say,
supporting
yeah, they're supporting me.
No, because I'm talking about Arabs.
I'm not supporting your statement.
Oh, you're saying the Persians are different than the Arabs.
Of course.
There's been lots of proof. I'm not supporting your statement because there's been lots of proof.
He's Persian. Of
what happened in Zionism. That yeah. The Arab media is just propaganda. So whatever you say, you can't listen to them.
It's
just a bunch of lies. And this over and over again where they quote the lies.
The Fatma Rebbe, who was a tremendous anti-Zionist, and was very, very tough and mean about it, he said in the Chutzlaret never to protest against Israel. Because he says when in the United Nations, when they attack Israel, they mean the Jews.
Oh, wow.
Which is a very powerful insight.
Powerful.
That's why the Torah Kaiser is so small.
Oh.
Because this Reb mainline Fatma is opposed to demonstrating against the state of Israel. Even though they detest it. They won't demonstrate against it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where is the yeshiva located in Yerushalayim?
In Kiryat Moshe, right when you come into Yerushalayim.
Does that next to the Arab section?
Not at all.
No.
It's very far from the Arab
section. Yeah, I feel like it's
not adjacent at all.
No.
Nope.
I used to live like 10 minutes from there. I mean, I feel like she'd be 10 minutes from there. It's like Kavisha Chad, and then it goes down towards there's a whole bunch of hotels, and it's like on one of those streets on the right.
Mm-hmm.
The hotels.
Where is that in
Yerushalayim? Right when you come in.
It's right near Center 1. Center 1.
Yeah.
Last question.
We had it, right?
What are the final words?
Last question before the prepared shear. So what would you say if somebody were to say, well, there is a place in Judaism for social action, and that the amount of social action we have to improve the world should increase? That's the support for the reform and conservative movement.
Again?
That there is a place in Judaism for social action, and the amount that we have
right.
should actually
That actually is another part of the reform and conservative movement. You are correct. And the reform and conservative movement are... Hello? Yes. Okay. Well, okay, thanks. My son is missing his bar mitzvah lesson.
Oh.
Let me just find him.
Who's due for the bar mitzvah?
His son, on July.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, anyway, while I'm waiting, the Reform Conservative Movement also, that's another benefit of theirs, because we, Orthodox, are dismal failures at social action. And we should be involved in social action. The fact that the Reform and Conservative are involved in social action to a certain extent atones for us. Hello, Nisano? Are you on your way home? Okay, because Rabbi Nyman came already. He's waiting for you. Okay, bye.
Would our Torah mitzvahs be an atonement for their lack of?
Yeah, sure. Everything is interconnected. I mean atonement also, but I didn't mean atonement metaphysically. I meant L'chil Hashem. L'chil Hashem of our being totally involved in our own betterment and not involved sufficiently in the betterment of humanity. Is mitigated by the conservative reform being involved in the betterment of humanity.
You don't think that Hasidim have more social
internal to Jews.
Yeah.
not external, which is the Chilul Hashem.
But what about the fact that like Rav will give a shiur and say, you know, you don't have to do, you don't have to worry about signing this or doing that. You just, you know, learn Torah and, you know, daven, that's it. I'll take care of it.
There's truth to that.
Right.
Because we don't have, our numbers are not very strong necessarily.
Right.
But it's still a shortcoming in the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like what type of things, like would things be like right about like nowadays, like we would do like anything?
Speaking the sending missionaries all over the world. You know, we should have missions in Africa.
That. We have Chabad.
Yeah, Chabad is only also only for Jews. They have Shemitz projects, but very few of them.
Oh, you mean right.
That scares me though. I just think of like colonial Africa or something. You know, it's like what happened there. You know,
the Catholic missions do tremendous good work.
They do, but I mean, yeah. You're right. I mean,
but
you're supposed to grow up
and
get the
but
I thought Allah was not supposed to do that.
The missionaries.
We're not supposed to try again to become Jewish, but Shavuot Mitzvot we are.
Ooh. So then why, if there really was such a thing that we should do this, why didn't the Gedolim speak out to do this?
Because we're too weak internally. We have to first fix up our own shop
right.
before we go outside.
So what's the time then?
The world doesn't understand that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it might not be completely true anymore.
Huh?
It might not be completely true.
Well, why not? Then we're too weak internally?
Yeah. Why? Because there's more terror being left around the world today than any time in history.
Yeah, but they'll say, oh, no, but you should, you know, like you could...
No, they try it like this. There's a very powerful force called inertia. Which means it's very hard to change course.
What?
Inertia.
Inertia.
And things keep on moving in the same direction. It'd be very hard for one gun now to come out and say, you know what, let's set up missions in Chad. Which gun is going to come out and say this? The Shul Kamenetsky? That's not going to happen.
Who's Chad?
Chad is a country in Africa.
Congo.
Congo, yeah.
Was he attacked on purposefully on a Sione yeshiva?
We don't know for sure, but we think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why they charged him.
Yeah.
Question came up in Shir Day about whether what would be the problem of just knowing, like, being American and just knowing American geography, not knowing anything else about the world except for what's America, or just being toward Jew in America. Just know, like this, someone came up, someone said, if you don't know where this country is on the map, then you're wrong. You should know. You should be cultured. Why?
You have to have basic knowledge of the world.
Why?
Makes you a better person.
How?
The more you develop your intellect, the more data you have, the better you're going to be able to reason and analyze and understand.
Mm-hmm.
Great answer.
I just came over there on the spot.
I figured.
Okay.
Yeah. You never know when you can pull a data point out as a point of reference and use it in your thinking process.
Right. Right.
Right.
But there could be an
the
order.
The fact that you can impress people tremendously with your knowledge of trivial and irrelevant facts.
That goes a long way. Certain instances.
But there could be a certain level of importance of things in your life or knowledge that you want to know or take care of.
Yeah, but knowing what countries are is so basic that people who don't know it are regarded in today's world are regarded as stupid Americans.
That's what I'm looking for. That's very good.
Yeah.
Okay.
do you think, like, also, let's for example, you're on an airplane and you're sitting next to a friend, does it look bad if, like, you don't know anything about the world? Is that why you have to know about the world?
That's a reason in itself. There's more than that, but that's also a reason.
Oh, wow. That's a good reason. Too.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Kier, how important is it?
How important is Kier? It's very important.
Very important.
But okay, there's two types of Kier, as we know.
Yes.
There's Kier for non-Frum.
Right.
And there's Kier for Frum.
Mm.
What is Kier for Frum?
Do you know any Orthodox or real Orthodox Jews?
Yeah, I know.
You know that a lot of them are messed up?
Yeah,
Yeah, called Kiel, it has a name now, it's called Kiel of Krovin.
You mean the
kid? What?
Oh, come on, you mean my job?
What?
No, you mean like a kid on improv?
Not just kids at risk, you know, kids, people who don't think, you know, people who just, same people who are cutting corners on legality, all these people need Q of Krovin.
Yeah, like, I was told, that they don't teach, like, maybe, like, the reasons from them, possibly into the myths, like, in basic after school, I mean, they don't teach them, like, what Judaism, like, they just teach them certain things, they don't teach them, like, very basic things, like,
why. Jacob Jewish schools, they teach them these things. So the yeshivas, they don't teach these things.
Yeah. What they
don't teach what things?
Judaism.
Don't teach Judaism.
Why are you laughing?
It's like...
It's true. They don't teach them Judaism.
Really?
That's what FSB is almost, like, 10 times more than any Bolt Shuva in the evidence.
About what? About Chazaka?
About today?
No, he doesn't.
About how to have a Gemara in the
middle. In 10 years, I learned value like 2. Combined in 10 years.
But they've learned Gemara all that time. They haven't learned about Judaism.
No, you can't be serious.
I have a question regarding that, learning Gemara. It came up in our Gemara shoot today. It came up, you know, a lot of guys, they get frustrated, they get burned out. So what's the purpose of learning Gemara? I've heard two theories I've heard, at least, is one being that the purpose of Gemara is to help better your communication. The more you learn Gemara, the better you see how people communicate and how you can improve your communication, how you can understand people better. And two, another answer I heard was it helps you make kedushim in Torah. So the more you learn Gemara, to make the kiddush and to find the creative insights in Torah will come easier for a person. That I want to do two parts to my question. One, do you find those statements to be accurate? And
they're accurate,
would you add to them? Do you have a
of course, they're accurate, but they're insufficient.
Okay, so I'd like to hear your answer, please. And the second question I have relating to that is, I'm having a very difficult time understanding, and it's something I don't think I could ever understand until I do it, is what Torah Lishma is.
These are big questions.
We're in the open forum. I gotta take my shot. If we can get a piece of one, it'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what that means, Lishma. If you want to get to Shir, do no problem. I can always come over and we can talk.
Not enough time for the Shir. Okay, so first of all, in terms of why I learned Gemara, the standard reason I always give, is that one has to. The mind is the most important organ in the body in terms of spiritual and personal growth, and the mind has to be developed. And the best way to develop the mind is by intellectual excitement and intellectual accomplishment, and that requires intellectual stimulation. And Gemara, besides providing intellectual stimulation, leading to intellectual accomplishment and intellectual treasure, does it in a holy way. Because it has kedusha, so therefore it expands the mind in manners which at the same time make the mind holy. So that's a very important thing. You can expand your mind with mathematics; it's not holy. You can expand your mind with, you know, let's say tailoring, but it's not intellectual. So the Gemara is both intellectual and holy at the same time. Besides that, and this I've never said before.
I've heard that before, right?
Yeah. This I've never said before, which is that men are warriors. It says in Chumash, the first chapter of Chumash, that Hashem tells man, conquer the world. So man, plus woman, was given this warrior personality. So warrior personalities can either become soldiers, can become mafia hitmen, can become football players, or can involve themselves in the Chamta Shofer. Torah is styled, the Gemara is styled, unlike most bodies of knowledge, which are static and set. Gemara is in constant flux internally in the different arguments between the different Tanoim and Amoraim, and the give and take and the back and forth, and also externally in the sense of how it's used in the base medrash to create, you know, these wars between kabbutzers, between people in the Shir, etc., etc. So that is a fulfillment in a positive way, usage in a positive way, and fulfillment of the warrior aspect of it, man.
I also heard one thing I wanted to add, someone telling me that the sort of Kabbalistic perspective is that the deep, if you just open up Chumash and you read it, there's so much that you don't know. So we have the Mishnah that comes along and elaborates a little bit on certain sukkim and certain concepts, and the Gemara is either a further refinement, and I guess eventually culminating in the, in the Sod of Torah. I sort of look from this stance, it's more refinement of purity of Torah, what the person used to define what Gemara is, the more pure form of Torah. You say that's accurate?
No.
Well, I always look at it as like, can you say that?
No, it's a less pure form of Torah.
It's a less pure form.
Okay. That's what makes it so exciting.
Could you say, though, I would thought since sort of at least today, I would say, one way I try to find ways to find meaning in it. So the one is that maybe you're training your mind, like you said, but in a sense, if one was to go and try to get into Kabbalah, I'm not saying I am, but just somebody. To me, it always seems like a way to sharpen your mind, like a pencil sharpener, to then approach like Kabbalah, which you would need like a focus for, and eventually try to get ourselves back up to the level of the Nevi'im, in a certain sense, the generation of the Nevi'im, which I guess is in the story of the Mekubalim today, is the closest thing to that. And you need to go through training your mind through Gemara in order to reach that level.
You could say that if you want. Yeah.
I just wanted to ask this whole kid at risk issue. Number one, what's the whole problem? Is there a solution to the problem? How do we solve it?
Oh, yes, there is a solution.
And why, what's the cause?
The cause is the stinky educational system.
What are we doing?
Change education. The problem is that we can't change the educational system.
Cannot?
I bet three rebellion here could definitely create a school that could definitely change education.
No, but they're afraid to do it. Everybody's afraid to do it.
Let's do it.
Yeah, okay. First of all, do you have the millions of dollars necessary?
We'll fundraise. I know one guy at the top, he's got
this
big house.
Like, yeah,
that's all it is. They're just like going all day, and some guys, and I'm teaching the kids that they could have to be in color, and some kids need to work.
Well, that's a oversimplification, but it's basically along those lines, yeah. There's no school to which you can send your kid. Unless you go to a school which is only non-Orthodox, where he's going to be able to learn less than 4 hours of Gemara a day.
Yeah.
For some people, it doesn't work. People have learning disabilities, you know, and they can't cope with so much written text. A lot of people, and people are not so smart. Right, and even people who are smart, sometimes the exact opposite. The system encourages mediocrity. You know what mediocrity is? Just being average. Mm. Yeah, if you're above average, the system works against you too.
Yeah,
it's a lose-lose situation.
How does the system against you if you're above average?
Because of what? It's too highly structured. They can't deal with you if you're gifted or talented. If you get the talented for any school in the Jewish world, you are trouble. There are not.
Yeshiva of Lakewood, no?
No, Yeshiva Lakewood is play about elementary and high schools now. Lakewood's not a Yeshiva elementary high school.
In Lakewood, I'm pretty sure there's plenty of Yeshiva.
Yeah, but they're all the same.
They're
all the same. I just want to make you depressed, that's all.
You just described how my students very well.
There is one of
the... Who that is, gifted and talented students?
A lot of them are brilliant. Brilliant and bored. A lot of them are very smart, they think very quickly, they just get bored.
You teach sheep?
Yeah, they teach every stuff, and teach every study, they teach science.
Oh, science. There's a 12-year-old kid who becomes pretty.
Where?
He learns here all the time. In Shari Torah.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, Benjamin Hella?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. What is an intelligent person like? What is an
Like, what is the definition of intelligent person? Because I said this kid, Benjamin Hillel, is like super genius, and, you know, intelligent type of person.
There's so many types of intelligence. I don't want to comment on that.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, there are people who are very smart but are totally incapable of human relations. There are people who are very good at human relations but pretty dumb. So there are all sorts of types.
Right.
Right. It's very rare that you find somebody who excels in everything.
Right.
Einstein couldn't get his socks to match.
Yeah, Einstein says he wasn't good.
Wait, war socks.
You know what he Einstein said that he wasn't good in psychology and politics.
Yeah.
Well, like the thing is, like, it's someone like a Kaplan, like, I would say he was a genius.
I'm sure he was.
But then someone might say, well, he just, you know, could organize a thought ball or something. I mean,
there's
not
no
like,
way,
you know, like,
he must have been a genius going through.
Okay, well, so that's the point. So the word genius is kind of unhelpful, because how do you find genius? Eric Chapman was clearly an extremely knowledgeable man who was very profound.
Right.
That's all we have to know.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, look up the theory of multiple intelligences online.
Guys, I want to share something with you, you know? Besides this year.
5 minutes left this year. Guys, 5 minutes left.
Listen, today, this is not this year. It's not the year of putting off till next week, obviously. But today I asked the kids in my year, I was feeling that there's a lot of friction in the class. Friction and tension. So I wanted them to write down what they perceive the problem were, and whether they perceive any clicks in the class. So this is typical of the answer I got. The greatest problem in our shir is X. The name of a person in the shir. He has his own opinions and will not accept other opinions. Any person that has an opinion that is not his is wrong.
That's you.
There is someone who accepts... No, it's a student share. There's someone who accepts his Derech Hashem, but not only rejects other Derech Hashem, finds them heretical. There's someone at Talmud who acts as the Rebbe and high authority. When he does not accept the fact that he is not, power goes to real authority, the Rebbe.
What kind of a stuff is this X?
Super brisk.
In what did you?
In my share, in MTA.
What grade?
What?
What grade?
Okay. There's only right there, one there, only one right there, Hashem.
This is all about the same kid?
It's all about, some, not a lot of them.
Why do they all pick on X?
What? Let me read you what X says about.
Oh, this is good. This is good. Yeah. X said it.
Yeah.
Everyone else has their own, won't accept everyone else's opinions. I accept everyone's opinions.
See, X feels better than everybody else. Anyway, so this is what X writes.
Yes.
Just fascinating. I was a little bit bowled over by it. I can't stand when people think and aren't smart. I have no patience for stupidity. There is a lack of control in the shir. We need real tests. To fix problems, because I give them the tests ahead of time, give them the answers, and tell them they want to bechaza. Fix problems. 1, have tests. 2, have homework. 3, move faster, less having people repeat things. Don't let stupid people voice their stupid opinions. I know I sound self-centered, but in honest self-assessment, I have spent more time thinking about these issues than other people, and God has given me more intelligence than most other people.
Wow.
I trust that this is kept in confidence, since people would hate me if they see my suggestions. In conclusion, the wide range of intelligence levels and lack of tests causes tension.
Wow.
Right?
Because he's writing, did he write everything correctly? Did he?
Oh, yeah, everything's spelled correct.
Everything's spelled correct.
The assessment is spelled wrong.
Wow. Okay, so is he like one of those kids that mediocre intelligence, you think he's
no.
super smart?
You can cut that
area. Oh, he's actually smart. Okay.
He's by far and away the smartest in the class.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you can cut that area.
You're a young disciple.
What?
You're a young disciple?
No, he doesn't hold with me so much.
Wow.
Because I'm too Hasidic for his taste. Yeah. So, I don't know what to do with this. I really don't know what to do with it. I went to the social principal today and said, maybe we should move him and another guy who also is similar, although not as bad, up to a higher shear.
Does this kid have any social skills?
He does.
Yeah?
He's not as bad. He's not so bad. Obviously, he generates intense hatred, but he does, on the other hand, have, you know.
I mean, he has a friend. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is, so the
see, but the thing
is, it says A, no one likes X, same X as before, feels better than everyone else. B, no one likes C, fights with everything and everyone. D is all of the above. There's a feeling of superiority and competition and learning.
How many kids are in this year?
Two most distressing, distressing problems. People make fun of other people. People want to prove other people wrong. People curse way too much. And a lot of them curse, so don't curse in front of me. Yes.
How many people, how many often are in this year?
23, far too many.
Who's the right one over here then?
There's no right and wrong. It's the clash of a, you know, to a certain extent, some of them really blame me because I teach them too much about different drachen.
Oh.
They're bothered by that. You know, some people say, oh, it's not them, it's not them, you know. This is,
so wait, are they, like, they feel out of place, they feel, like, unsettled by the fact that you're teaching them many viewpoints, or, yeah?
People do not seem to know about having good meetings and treat people they don't like terribly. Too many opinions and ideas that were formed this year. It is because of new ideas, rationality, sentimentality, briskerism, Hasidism.
Briskerism.
He's basically pointing at that word bumper again.
What? There's two of them, two of them. I think one of the main problems is the emphasis on Hasidism and Misnagdus. I think it is incorrect to allow the bashing of great Rabbanim solely because they're Hasidish or Misnagdus. Another problem, I think, is how we allow certain people to call out in class and express their opinions, as these opinions usually include telling other kids that they are wrong and stupid. What is that referring to, right? That, lashing out at bashing of great Rabbanim and other similar things. P.S. The emphasis on Hasidim is not even gone so far that I personally know of a kid in this class, I can guess who it is, who ripped out the tzaddik from a packet, the page of the tzaddik, and threw it in the garbage. Oh. When I asked him about it, he admitted that he may consider the tzaddik garbage. I'm afraid I might have created a monster. I don't know what I'm going to do with it.
The tzaddik is a Hasidish...
What?
How are you teaching this class?
Well, anyway, it's a smart breakfast.
Who's
this from the great Hasidic thinker.
You teach Gemara Brachas and they come out saying it's too much Hasidism and Hasidism?
Well, you know, I have also, there's some time when we talk about other topics.
Oh.
But mainly I teach Gemara Brachas.
And what do you, are you saying when you get a topic and you say Hasidism? It seems like they're very, you know, they're very focused on Hasidism and Hasidism. Like, you end up just on that subject every time?
No, I didn't see it.
Wow. And they've been like taking it ever since from then on.
Okay, well, guys, I'll let you know if I'm able to resolve this situation. But right now I'm thinking of just getting rid of the top two guys in this year.
It's like 7
months. Alright, when you said you needed some people to, we want some people to speak to your...
Yeah, let's talk about the paper.
Right, what did you want someone to speak on?
Personal stories. What they found Judaism.
Wow.
Yeah. These kids don't know anything about Judaism. That's what I'm telling you. They never had any Jewishness in their life. They basically lived a standard suburban modern Orthodox existence. They never had to check Judaism out.
Don't you think though, if you kick the two kids out of your shoe, then you'll be embracing what you have? How the shoe doesn't allow for, how the shoe doesn't allow for gifted and talented?
Yeah.
No,
but that is a function. I think a share of 23 with two people, especially X, dominates.
Well, we really don't have to worry because what's going to be the year is almost March, April. You know, the year is almost over. It's like 3 more months, and then there's a new group of kids coming in.
Yeah, but that's a horrible. That's a horrible thought.
What most the kids do for
the
summer?
That means that's the largest of their sales.
What most
of
the kids do for the summer?
Yeah, what
do
these kids?
They go to camp.
Senator Cassidus?
Sure.
He was at Bill Adorn's grandson, a great grandson.
No, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't?
No.
Someone
no.
said that might see what I
think.
Is that a mistaken idea? Is at least.
There's
am I basing on someone's mistaken idea, at least?
Maybe mistaken idea. But one of Reb Sutter's predecessors, the Rebbe in Lublin, was Reb Leibler Eger, who was the grandson of Rebbe Akiva Eger.
He was very good.
Oh man!
He
should get so put it out like
he
oh.
Not no, the son of Shlomo Eger was Reb Leibler's father.
Yeah.
That shiva when Reb Leibler became a chassid.
Wow! When his son became a chassid, he
sat
shiva and he married a
chassid
girl.
Who did?
Reb Leibler.
Of course, he became a rebbe.
Wow! And
he
sat
shiva. He probably was a rebbe then. Right? He was a very warm rebbe.
Wow.
No, wait, but no. This is when my last shot is out. Can you start it? Yeah.
What do you mean your last one?
I'm saying after this I'm home.
Oh. So I shouldn't feel sad that like I when I was, you know, newly bought to a prison, I didn't get this prison fair.